If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Now, Doc listened so intently to me. He said, you made a mistake. You said farming when it should be gardening. Of course it's gardening. And delighted to be joined by Alton Nesbitt from Centenary Home and Garden. Good morning to you, Alton.
Good morning, Fran.
Even though I have no doubt you could talk about farming if it was necessary. The rain has come upon us the last day or so after that beautiful weather altogether. Yeah. What should we
and
be
really,
conscious?
And things have kind of really, after that rain, everything kind of has pulsed into
yes.
growth. Now, what's lovely, what's coming into flower now and what will be lovely in the next week or two are the lovely clematis.
Yes.
And these are the lovely climbing plants that you can have, let's say, either over your garden wall or over an archway or even let's say, growing up to trees. And these are quite vigorous climbers as well.
Mm.
So any of the there's different types of clematis, of course. You have the spring summer flowering ones, and then you have the summer flowering, and then the autumn. But with the spring flowering ones, these are probably the more easiest ones to grow. Really, they're quite vigorous, and so they will cover a wall quite quickly for you. So the things like the clematis Montana Rubens, which is a lovely deep pink clematis, and that will have a massive flowers at this time of the year. Again, they're quite vigorous, so you need, let's say, a trellis or a wire mesh or something for it to grip onto. So I always like to have them, let's say, growing over a shed or even over an archway that you have, because it almost forms a kind of an umbrella shape mm. over it and just cascades down with this mass of flowers. Now, you can have Montana Rubens or there's Montana Alba as well. So you can have the lovely pink and the white growing to each other. And they're magnificent at this time of the year.
And is there a lot of looking after with them?
Not at all. With the spring flowering clematis is much better. You can plant them ordinary enough, but again, give them a good feed of either fish blood and bone fertilizer at the basin when you're planting them, and wash them well after transplanting, and they'll grow quite vigorously for you. Now, with the clematis, they will get them to the size that you want them at, this is the trellis or the pergola, and keep them to that. So once the flowers have faded on it, then you prune it back to the frame, to the trellis,
yes.
So that it keeps its shape. Otherwise, it does get out of hand. It does get quite vigorous. So again, as soon as the flowers have faded, prune it back. So then you'll have loads of flowers for next late spring, early summer as well. If you prune them too lately, let's say in the autumn time, you won't have the flowers. All you'll have is a lot of vegetative growth. So it's much better to prune them straight as soon as the flowers have faded so that you get plenty of flowers for next time, late spring, early summer.
Very good. Now, speaking of flowers, everywhere I go, I see gorgeous cherry blossom trees. But one of our listeners on to say, why hasn't my cherry blossom tree bloomed?
Yeah, what happens with cherry blossoms is that they can get canker or even a fungal rot on the tree. So it's very important just to check for that. If you see this kind of a dieback on the branches, almost like the branch has no foliage on it, and you almost have this coral spot fungus growing on it as well. And this is a thing called dieback that attacks the tree.
Mm.
So it's a fungus that attacks it. So what you do is you cut off any dead or damaged wood off it, paint that with an arborex paint, a heal and seal paint, so the fungus doesn't travel any further within the tree. And then give it a good feed of sulfate of potash. This forces the cherry trees to produce loads of flowers. Now, the cherry trees flower on second-year-old wood, so it's very important to not keep pruning them every year.
Mm.
Allow it to produce second-year-old wood so that you get plenty of flowers on it. Now, cherry trees are quite easy to grow, really. You have lovely the Kansans, which is lovely, the double pink flowers, or even the tabletop cherries, the double white one. But what's also lovely that's coming into flower as well are the Malices, which was they're the lovely crab apple trees,
mm.
and they're quite nice at the moment. There's another one called Prolific, and there's lovely prolific purple flowers out of it, which is particularly nice.
It almost strikes me, the cherry blossoms, they don't blossom for very long, do they?
They don't. Really, you can go for, say different varieties of them to prolong the season. So things like the tabletop cherries, they're probably one of the first ones to come into flower. Or there's one called Prunus triloba, which is a lovely rosette of pink flowers. They flower quite early as well. And then you can go on to the Prunus canzans, which is the double pink that is in flower now at the moment. And then later on, there's Prunus amagawia, which is the more upright one, and that flowers a little bit later.
All right. So listener wants to know, could you help? They want to stop suckers from growing from roots of plum trees. Some grow at the base of the tree, others grow up from the roots several feet from the base, others growing from the branches of the tree.
Yeah, I'm afraid that the only way to do that is actually to prune any of the suckers that are coming
What
up.
Are they? Sorry.
Most plum trees or most fruit trees are grafted. So what happens is you have a wild rootstock. And this would be like the wild plum, like a Caesar or just an ordinary plum base. Mm. So they're grafted onto that. What happens is sometimes if you prune the variety of tree that you have, it tends to send up, it takes it's been attacked. So what it does, it sends up these runners that will come up over to your lawn or even up to your pathways sometimes as well. Mm. So really the best thing to do is actually to prune them back with a loppers or with the secateurs, just to keep them at bay. Otherwise, it will come, let's say, 4 or 5 foot. You'll have these suckers coming up, and you'll have this wild plum. It would be quite almost like a very small plum that would come on it, but it would be very bitter in taste. So it's much better to go for. Keep the variety that you want, something like the Opal or E. Caesar, which is a lovely deep purpley plum, or there's a lovely self-pollinating variety called Victoria, which is lovely golden plum, which is quite nice as well. And there, again, don't allow any suckers come from on the main stump of the tree. Keep them clean. And so that you keep the variety that you want.
Isn't nature amazing?
Nature will always try to go back to its original state, which is quite fascinating. And most trees that are grafted or budded, and roses the same, will always try to revert back to its original state.
Incredible. James is looking for a remedy for a hedge that has recently begun to turn black on top, just at the tips, and also want to get rid of a few briars going up through the hedge. But will you take the black on the top of the hedge first of all?
What happened there, we had quite very little frost over the winter months, so there was a lot of soft growth on a lot of the hedging. So there about two weeks ago, we had 3 nights of hard frost that burnt the tips of all the hedging. So all that soft growth got burnt. Again, it's just a matter of trimming that off, just to tidy it up a bit. Give it a feed, let's say the poultry manure fertilizer at the very base of the hedge, just to help to boost it on, to green it on very well. And that will make it a lot healthier looking. Again, just to tidy it up, prune off any dead dieback that was burnt with the frost, and that will keep going.
All right. One of our listeners just doing my lawn now. Is it the best time to set lawn seed, and what way should I go about this?
Now, with them, it's very important just to spray off the area where you're sowing your lawn, so that you have no scotch grass or weeds that are there. So clean that off quite well. Use either Roundup or Gallop for that. And then after about 3 weeks, I want you to get rid of any of the scraw or the thatch that's on the lawn. So rake that out of it. Use a rotavator to dig the soil quite well. And use a thing called silica sand, if you can, to put in through the topsoil, so that you have a lovely aerated topsoil. And then rake it as much as possible. Get out of any stones. Have it as level as possible as well. So any humps or hollows, level them off. So number 2 grade lawn seed then into the topsoil, and rake that over lightly. Again, if you have any curbing or that at the edge of the lawn, always do an extra layer of lawn seed just along the curbing as well, so that you don't have that orange patch during the summertime because of the concrete at the back of the curbing, because you'll get this kind of yellow stripe. Mm. So if you put an extra bit of lawn seed along that, it will make it much more like a carpet and more tight in growth as well. Again, once you've sown that now, it takes about 2 to 3 weeks for that to germinate. And a lot of weeds will come up with that. You'll have a lot of, annual weeds, things like chickweed and stuff like that. So just get your lawn mower up to its highest and do a tip mow on the lawn just to bend the grass over, and that will allow the grass to thicken up into any of those patchy areas. You can feed it with a thing called the 7617, the potato manure fertilizer, and that will help to thicken the grass quite quickly for you.
Very good. We're waiting on a lawnmower being repaired at the moment, and our place is like a blooming meadow at the moment. But anyway, it says here, I have a hedge that has leaf rot. How can it be treated? I think it's called Carissa macrocarpa, and that's in from Agnes.
Yeah, with any leaf rot, it's very important to get rid of any damaged foliage off it. So prune them all out of it as much as possible. Use a thing called a copper mixture fungicide spray on the hedge. Now, you have to do this late in the evening time, because what happens is if you do that in midday, you scorch the foliage even worse. So it's very important to spray that late in the evening time. So that gets rid of any fungal attack that's on your hedge. So use a thing called copper mixture. We sell it in a little container that will do about 9 litres of water. And then you can spray that over the hedge late in the evening time, and that will get rid of any fungal attack on your hedge.
All right. I want to build my own glass house, but does it have to be glass, or would perspex or plastic sheeting be okay to use?
Perspex or plastic sheeting is ideal because you can get these W-clips that you can put into the side of the perspex that holds it in place for your glass house, or even if you're doing a lean-to, is quite good. Again, with any glass house or tunnel, it's very important to have good ventilation as much as possible. So allow for air to go right through the glass house or tunnel that you're doing. And with the perspex, it's sometimes during the mid-summer, it's a good idea is to have some kind of shading as well, because sometimes it gets so intense, the heat inside in a glass house or tunnel, that you get scorching on the foliage. So it's a good idea just to put a little shading, something like the windbreak mesh that you can get, and put that on the roof of the tunnel, so that it protects the plants from any severe scorching.
All right. So will you take a final one for me? Marianne was on to say that she has problems with blueberries and also rhubarb, just not doing so well.
Yeah, with the blueberries, first of all, it's very important to plant them in an ericaceous compost. They're an acid-loving plant. And sometimes they get very bleached in colour. So always feed them with a sequestrator of iron or any of the rhododendron azalea feed. And that will keep them lovely and healthy and fresh. Now, with the blueberries as well, they need another variety or another partner to cross-pollinate. So it's very important to have a couple of different varieties together, so that you'll get good pollination and therefore plenty of blueberries from it. Again, feed it with a high potash feed, something like even the tomato feed or sulfate of potash. That will force it to produce more flowers for you. The blueberries are coming into flower now, so it's important that they're in a sheltered spot so they're not exposed to any frost as well. And that will bring the blueberries on quite well. What was the second question, sorry?
It was rhubarb.
With rhubarb, it's very important to lift and divide those in September and leave the crowns of the rhubarb up high, so that they're actually planted proud above the soil, so the eyes are above the soil, and they'll sprout quite early. It's very important, again, to cover the crowns with either straw or bark mulch or something like that to protect the crowns from any late frost as well. Mm. Now, some people put these pots over them to stretch the stalks of the rhubarb. Sulfate of ammonia is a great fertiliser to have for rhubarb. It makes the stems lovely and thick and strong. And so if you put a fistful of the sulfate of ammonia around the base of the rhubarb, it makes them much better stalks and better foliage of them.
All right. Alton, always a pleasure. Happy gardening. Thank you so much. Alton Esbitt there from Centenary Home and Garden. That's it for me. Doc produced. Stephen is up next with the Time Tunnel, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Look after yourselves in the meantime. Bye-bye now.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie. Dinner's